and seen things above. The Spirit came unto me and filled my heart with love. I'm gonna die on the battlefield. I'm gonna die in the war. I'm gonna die on the battlefield with glory in my soul. Some say give me silver and some say give me gold. But I say give me Jesus with glory in my soul. Die on the battlefield. I'm gonna die in the war. I'm gonna die on the battlefield with glory in my soul. I used to know some people. They walk and talk with me. But since I've been converted, they turn their backs on me. I'm gonna die on the battlefield. I'm gonna die in the war. I'm gonna die on the battlefield with glory in my soul. Now give me the gospel trumpet and I'll blow it wherever I can. And I'll take it home to Jesus just over in the promised land. I'm gonna die on the battlefield. I'm gonna die in the war. I'm gonna die on the battlefield with glory in my soul.
Amen. Okay. So open our Bibles tonight to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, 101. Psalm 101. Now, I do need your prayers tonight, bad. Because the Lord laid this message on my heart. And if you don't believe He has, you're going to be wrong one of these days. I believe the Lord laid this message on my heart tonight. I don't know what your reaction may be. I told you I was going to preach what I was going to preach tonight. And it's very hard for a preacher. But every preacher, if he's a preacher at all, is going to have to deal with this subject sooner or later. And it's a thing that's going to have to be dealt with. Every man here tonight is going to have to deal with it in your home. Every woman here tonight is going to have to deal with it in your home, especially where there's children. This is an issue tonight that we're facing. And what should be the Christian's attitude? I've tried my best to seek and search and pray and find the will and the mind of God concerning this thing. And I've come to some definite conclusions with the help of a lot of godly men. And you know, when a God-called preacher says something, I respect what he says. If one of God's men says something, folks, you may flare up and get mad and say something against it, but God's men ain't as dumb as people think they are sometimes. And when God's men says something, I know they're not perfect, they're not always right, but when God's men say something, if you're one of God's people, you better listen and at least check it out with the Scripture. That's what you better do. And tonight, I want to bring you a message on the subject of TV. TV or not TV? That is the question. And we're going to talk about it tonight, how it should be dealt with, how Christians' attitude should be to it. And I believe it'll be a blessing to you. Now, I know what some people's done. You know why a lot of people wouldn't want to come tonight to hear this message? Because they're scared. They're scared. You're afraid of it. Some of you sitting right there tonight are afraid of what I'm going to say. Now, why are you afraid? Ask yourself the question, why am I afraid of that preacher tonight? I don't know. You have that same feeling. I've been in your shoes. I've been to hear you preach, and I knew he's getting ready to get on something that I didn't want him to get on. And I was sitting there just saying, oh, no, don't let him say it, Lord. Don't let him say it. And most of the time, he said it. And it's you get the same feeling that you get at the doctor's office when you know he's going to come in there and say you need op. That's the very same feeling. Or when you're in the dentist chair and you think, I know he's going to say it's going to have to be pulled. I know he's going to say it's have to be pulled. You got that same feeling here tonight. And I do need your prayers and your undivided attention as I try to preach this message tonight. And a lot of study, a lot of prayer, and a lot of preparation has went into this. Now, you may be just so narrow-minded tonight nobody can help you. You may be in that shape tonight. I feel sorry for these people that are so narrow-minded that they say, well, he ain't going to take away my favorite television program. I'm going to watch it no matter what he or anybody else says. And then they're the ones that talk about the preachers for being narrow-minded. They're so narrow-minded, if a fly sat on their nose, he'd kick them in both eyes at the same time. So don't talk to me about being narrow-minded tonight. You ought to be broad-minded and hear out somebody's thinking. If you got something you want to say about something, I'll come over to your house and sit down and listen. You tell me if you got something you want to help my home, I'll listen to you. Don't be so narrow-minded. And don't already make up your mind you ain't going to listen. Now tonight I'm not going to try to take away your enjoyment. I'm not going to try to take away things that are good for you. My purpose tonight is to tell the truth and help you. And I really believe this, that the coming months and years, the spiritual tone or the spiritual atmosphere or the spiritual temperature of this church will in some degree be determined by how you react to this message tonight. I really believe that. I believe this message is so important that souls could be saved or not be saved depending upon what you people sitting in front of me do with what I'm going to say tonight. Amen. In other words, I'm not just up here running my mouth. Amen. I'm not just up here because it's something to do. Amen. I'm up here with a message from God. Amen. You better hear the message from God. Amen. If you don't, you'll do it to your own detriment and your own destruction one of these days. I'm going to try my best to give you what God give me to give you, and I believe it'll help you. Don't be so narrow-minded. You go to the doctor and say, oh no, doc, don't give me a shot. You want to die? You want to go to the operating room? You know what a wise person will say? If I need it, give it to me. I want to be healthy. If I need it, let me have it. And so tonight's what I want to try to do. Psalm 101, verse 1. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. Here's the context of this chapter, verse 2. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. The context of this chapter tonight is in the house, in your house. David said, I'll walk within my house with a perfect heart. Now, stop right there. We're going to read some more in a little bit. And I want to try to bring you a message on the subject TV, a blessing or a curse. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you'd help us tonight. Lord, we pray that we'd say just exactly what you've already laid on our heart to say, that we wouldn't add to it one word, that we wouldn't take away from it one word, that we wouldn't be afraid of the faces of men. God, no, Lord, there ain't no telling who'll hear this message. Lord, it'll go out across the country, no doubt, on the waves of the airways of the radio. But God, I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd use it for thy honor and glory. Help thy servant tonight to say what you'd have us to say. Bless in a powerful way. Anoint with the Holy Ghost. And we'll praise you and thank you and glorify you for it. In Jesus' blessed name we pray, and for His sake, amen. Now I do ask you to pay attention tonight, please. Please pay attention. I try to bring you the message out of my heart. Some of you is not going to get a blessing because you've already tuned me out. But the ones that tune me in with an open mind will get a blessing. No doubt about it. You'll be blessed if you listen to what I say tonight. If you listen with an open heart and an open mind. You know, a Christian ought to be the type of person that knows who he is, what he is, why he's what he is. Amen. But he ought never to be so closed-minded to what if somebody shows him something different that's right,
that it won't agree with what's truth. You ought to love truth more than you love your beliefs. You ought to love the truth more than you love your reputation or your testimony or your pride or your knowledge. You ought to love the truth more than whatever else you love. You ought to love the truth. Let's examine this great force in our lives. Let's examine this powerful instrument in our homes. Okay? Have you got the nerve to go along with us? Now I'm going to ease some of you's nerves right off the bat tonight. I'm not going to say tonight that TV is all bad. I'm not going to say it. So don't that give you relief? I mean, you can breathe now. And nor am I going to say it's a sin for you to have one. I'm not going to say that. Because if it was, it would also be wrong to have a radio. Because about 80 or 90% of what's on the radio ain't fit to listen to. Just the same as TV. It would also be wrong to have a Sears catalog. It would also be wrong to have a Brindle's catalog. It would also be wrong to have a lot of things if you're categorizing it in that way. So I'm not going to say tonight that it by itself is wrong. But let's face it, folks. Something that has nicknames like the boob tube, the plug-in drug, the one-eyed devil, idiot box, and the God with a glass face couldn't be all good. It can't be all good. An honest Christian will agree to that. However, as one man said, anything that keeps my wife quiet can't be all bad either. And so tonight, we're going to talk tonight about the God with the glass face, or T. Let's give us a little history, shall we? Let's look into a little history just for a moment. The word television comes from two words. The first word is a Greek word named tele, T-E-L-E. The word tele means far. The second word is a Latin word called videre. The word videre is like our word video, and that word means to see. The word tele means far. The word vision means to see. To see far. Television means tonight to see something that's far away. To see far off. You're reminded of that story of the prodigal son where he wanted to go into the far country. A young person don't have to leave home now to go into our country. He can see the far country right in his own privacy of his own home. The TV transmits or comes over the air on electromagnetic waves. Keep in mind that the devil is the prince, the power of the air. That's the way it comes. Many people contributed to the invention of television, and no one person can be blamed or given credit, whichever way you want to look at it, for its invention. Many scientists and many inventors contributed to its development. It was started on its work in the late 1800s, and in 1929, the first one was developed. It wasn't out on the market until the 40s, the late 1940s, and between 1950 and 1960, absolutely swept this nation. This nation has been greatly changed because of the invention of television. And in 1951, some of you may here remember it, the first coast-to-coast broadcast television, and it was President Truman making a speech. That was the first coast-to-coast TV broadcast ever made in the United States. Milton Berle became the big first star in the 50s, and the long line of succession after him. Oh, Amos and Andy, and the Happiness Boys, and then on down to the Three Stooges, and the Little Rascals, and on down, you know, to the more modern day stars. And oh, good old Brother Ed kept more people out of church on Sunday night, I reckon, than the flu. Come on after that, and introduced the Beatles and Elvis Presley to the world. But we've seen this thing blossom and grow until now. They manufacture $14 million a year in the United States, and people spend $3 billion a year on television sets. The first TV that was ever advertised for sale was in the Sears Roebuck catalog, 1949, for $149.95. You can get them cheaper than that now. But they were so valuable by then, and they looked kind of funny. Looked like a great big old radio about that tall with a little bitty round screen about that big on the top of it. And I imagine some of you here tonight, some of you grown-ups here tonight, can remember the first time you ever saw a television. Many of you tonight were grown before your first time you ever saw one. How many of you here remember the first time that you ever saw one? Raise your hand. All right, look around here tonight, folks. You talk to some of these people. I've heard Dad talk about it. I've heard him come in, say, some guy come in. It's been a long time since I heard him say it. Some guy came in, you know, and he said, "Man, you've got to come down the street. They got a box down there. They got a radio, blankety-blank radio you can see the picture on." And that was the first time they'd ever heard of it. They'd never saw it. They didn't know what it was. Now, that brings us to an interesting point, folks. This is the first generation in the history of the world to grow up with television. There's never been a generation of people in this world grew up with TV except the one you and I are living in. This is the first. A lot of these people that go around saying, "Oh, it's helped everybody and it's a wonderful thing." You know what? They hadn't hung around long enough to see the results. We don't know what the results will be yet completely. We know a few of them, but we don't know exactly what the end of a result is going to be of the first generation ran on TV. Now, 90% of the United States homes have one, and it's on for an average of 6 hours a day. 90% of the United States homes. One-third of the American homes have at least two sets, and it's swept to where you don't find anybody whose lives is not affected by it in one way or the other. Now, let me say tonight, first of all, the good uses. The good uses of television. You listening? The good uses of television. I want to say tonight, without any apology to any preacher or anybody else, TV tonight, if it was used right, could be one of the greatest evangelistic tools that this world has ever seen. Brother, you talk about a way to win souls. If the right people get a hold of that thing, put the burning hell on Thursday night, prime time, across the United Stations, and you put some good old gospel film like A Thief in the Night. Put that film on there on prime time, CBS, Channel 3, across the United States, and you'd have a national revival within a month's time. It could be one of the greatest evangelistic tools that this world has ever seen. And the very fact that they won't allow things like that on there shows that 90% of the time who's in control. Wouldn't it be a blessing if you could get some of them films on there that had an evangelistic point to them and told people at the end of it to bow their head right there and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior? Why, they'd get saved by the millions if you could do that. But it could be. You imagine that. You imagine. What if they made movies and them guys are experts on it? What if they could make some TV movies, show them from 7 to 9 or 9 to 11 on Monday, Tuesday, or Thursday, or Friday night, and make a good story of the prodigal son, and make that thing just right according to the Bible, and have the Holy Ghost working in that thing? Brother, you think of the millions of sons out yonder in sin, and boys and girls that it reach unto God. Yes, it could be used in a great evangelistic way. Not only that, but there's a lot of great gospel preachers on the TV set. They come out and preach. These old drunks that'll listen to a crusade or a message on TV that never have been to church in years. So God has used it in a way, in that way. There's some good singing. Plus, there are some good healthy entertainment for the kids. I always liked the Little Rascals, you know. That's been my favorite show. If it still come on, I'd watch it once in a while. I always did enjoy that. Them things had a good meaning to them, you know it. They say that the world was in such a depressed stage after the Depression that they came out with the Little Rascals in order to cheer everybody up. And that's exactly what it did. What a relaxing way just to sit back and relax. I tell you, that'd be a blessing, wouldn't it, if they put them back on. But anyway, brother, those days are gone. I always liked old yum yum eat 'em up. Yum yum eat 'em up. I used to love that. When that come on, it tickled me to death. Some of you may not remember that. He feeding them hot dogs, man, by the hundreds. That old guy just swallowing them. I used to like that. Old Tom and Jerry, you know, they're a pretty decent bunch. And a lot of other shows. I'm sure the kids have received some health and training in a lot of ways. And, you know, some of them, I don't know what's on hardly much nowadays. I know a few, but I don't know much. But I know there used to be some that was halfway decent, and it could be used in a good way. But not only that, TVs are used in a surgeon. A surgeon uses a TV in an operation to help him out with his tools and work. Closed circuit TVs help banks and stores for security purposes and have caught many a robber. In the jails, they have security closed circuit television for the security. Satellite cameras shoot back our weather patterns and help us when we can make our plans and then we get the weather. That's good. I thank the Lord for it. And it has grown to be the most powerful social force in American culture. Did you know the last Miss Universe pageant? 500 million people, brother, sat at home and watched it. 500 million people. And they said when Frazier and, what's his name, Cassius Clay had that fight, that over 1 billion people watched one fight. That's a power force. That's a powerful force. You know what some ignorant people say? They say, well, don't he? There's a lot more in the Bible. Why don't you preach on something besides TV? You call that something little? Something that has the control of our children and our moms and our dads. That ain't little, brother. That ain't little. All right, you ready? Behold, now's the time to go out the door. Because we're getting ready to look at some of the effects of it. Now, I've been pretty nice so far, ain't I? You know I wouldn't say nothing I say tonight if I didn't love you. If I didn't love you tonight, you know what I'd do? I'd get up here and I'd tell you a nice little story about how we ought to love each other and be just nice as I could and hope you give me a raise this week. If I didn't love you, that kind of preacher I'd be. But you know what? My first allegiance tonight is not to this church. My first allegiance tonight is not to the deacons. My first allegiance tonight is not to my wife. My first allegiance tonight is to the Lord. And when God puts a message on a man's heart, you better hear what God has given him to say. Like it or not, you better hear. And I want to say tonight, let's examine its effects. You listening? Some of you ain't listening. You listening? Its effects. First of all, its physical effects. Mothers, you listen. If a mother here has got that much sense, has God gave a brass monkey, you'll listen to the next 5 minutes. TV has some definite physical effects on children. Now, if you ain't backslid and full of demons, you'll like what I'm getting ready to say because it'll help you. You hear me? All right, some physical effects. Now, you keep in mind, there are more TVs in America than there are bathtubs. Are you one of the unclean TV watchers? More television than bathtubs in our country. People who don't even have a car got a color TV. I've been in houses, brother, with no paint on them. And the thing of falling down, carrying water, an outside toilet, big $800 TV sitting over there in the corner. They'll have it or die. They'll have it or bust. So I'm going to give you some of the physical effects. Ready? Babies at 3 months old watch TV regularly. They used to didn't do it. Used to, when a mother had a three-month-old baby, she'd sit and rock it and sing, lullaby and good night. Na, 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 na. You know what the baby'd watch? He'd watch mama's face. He'd watch mama's hands. And his eyes, he could settle. He could go, he'd just go off to sleep. Now he's got something over here flashing like electronic wallpaper. And the baby is attracted. And he's looking over there, and his eyes get caught by them flashes and them sounds. And he goes to sleep like that. You say, well, what's wrong with that? It has some physical effects on him. It definitely has physical effects on him. It's damage into a child's eyes. That can be proved. They put some chickens in a box with a TV on, left it on 24 hours a day. In 3 weeks, the chickens went blind. Their eyeballs got hard, and they went blind, brother. I'm saying this to help you. And by the time they get 5 or 6 years old, they'd rather give up Dad than the TV. If they have their choice, they'd rather lose their daddy than lose their TV. They go to school after Captain Kangaroo, eat a TV dinner during Gilligan's Island, and go to bed after Charlie's Angels. And it's completely in their mind all day long and all night long. And goes what in between. The result is, by the time that a child reaches high school, finishes high school, he's sat in front of the television 18,000 hours. Let's see what it does to your eyes. How many of y'all them commercials? I like commercials better than the shows. A lot of times they're more interesting. Or they used to be. Now they've done got ungodly, a lot of them. Now you're at commercials, brother, and in between the shows, you got a big mix of Milk Duds, Bullet Man, Sugar Smacks, Violent Acts, Mork, Mindy, Money, and who knows what in between. Now, so, what does it do to a teenager's eyes? What does it do to your little boy's eyes or your little girl's eyes? TV effects. I want to tell you how. TV reduces a critical eye movements. Hear what I said? TV in your children reduces the critical eye movements. You know how your eyes just jump around, you know, and you look around and look here and look there and look around. If a kid stares at TV and grows up on it all of their life, they'll get to where their eyes can't move around. They'll just go like this all the time. Because that's the way you watch it. It's all in one little bitty screen and you don't have your eyes just like this. Now you say, what does that prove? November the 6th, 1964, Time Magazine carried an article, and the article was entitled, Those Tired Children. That was the name of it. A pediatrician at an Air Force base all of a sudden had some strange complaints about their children not acting right. These children were between 3 and 12 years old. They suffered from chronic fatigue, headaches, loss of sleep, upset stomachs. You know why they suffer from loss of sleep, don't you? Because they wasn't tired enough to go to sleep. Just sitting there all day. I remember when we used to go outside and play all day long, brother. When we went to bed, we went to sleep. We was tired. But anyway, upset stomachs and vomiting. They'd searched them kids from head to toe and couldn't find not one medical reason what was wrong with them. They tried an experiment. They found out being an Air Force base, kids didn't have nothing to do, and them kids were spending from 6 hours a day watching television and 9 hours on Saturday and Sunday. That's 5 times 6, 30, and 2 9s, 18, 48 hours a week in front of it, between 3 and 12 years old. The pediatrician said, well, we're going to try an experiment. It ain't never been done before. I ain't talking about a bunch of preachers and Christians, so don't be so prejudiced. Listen to me. They put it in Time Magazine. You know that ain't no Christian book. They prescribed no TV for a while. And in every case where the parents followed their instructions, the symptoms left. They said when we took them off the TV, the symptoms left just as strangely as they came. We can't understand it, but they left. A kindergarten teacher says that there is a notable difference between kids now and kids 15 years ago. Their eyes don't move. They can't learn how to read like they should. 15 years ago, the average kid could learn how to read just like that. Now they can't. And a teacher says that their eyes won't move. You know why? Because if a kid spends hours and hours and hours a day in front of TV, their eyes won't move back and forth. And a doctor said that people brought kids to them and said they was retarded. And they said, this kid's retarded. We can't even teach it how to write. And the doctor said he found out that they had been spending a lot of time all their life in front of television. He said, the first thing we do is get them eyes moving. Can't get their eyes moving, they can't learn how to read. See, when you pick up a book, folks, your eyes got to move back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And kids nowadays can't do it. And the doctor said, that ain't Brother Danny's opinion. That's a medical doctor. You take them diet pills he gives you, why don't you listen to what else he says? 80% of everything you learn through your eyes. Do you know that? And it is definitely, too much of it is definitely bad for your child's eyes. All right, let's see what else its physical effects are. Your hands. A kindergarten teacher says a child these days can't work with their hands as good as they used to when they came to school. They don't know how. Say, what are you talking about, preacher? Little simple thing like using scissors. Now, I know a lot of you are good Christian people, and you don't let your kids sit in front of it all the time. And your kids get out and play, and they learn how to do things. But out there in the world, in a lot of places, and some Christians, when a kid goes to school, don't even know how to use scissors. He's been glued to the TV, and there's no time for him to learn how to play, to lift, to build, to line up blocks, learn how to use his mind and his hands. Look at the effect he has on your other faculties. It definitely affects your outlook and your sensibility. It affects your attitude toward violence. It affects hyperactivity. Put that little boy out there and let him run around the house all evening, chasing worms and playing with the dogs, and you won't have to beat him at night to get him to go to sleep. You won't have to take him to the doctor and find out what's wrong with him. What's wrong with him? He's got a bunch of energy he needs to burn up, and you need to help him. It affects their imagination. Do you know that? A kid that watches TV all the time ain't got no imagination, because it does all the thinking for him. You remember how kids used to? They'd go out in the yard and they'd put up a block here and say, now that's a house. And over here, and they'd take a little old rock and say, my car, and go around in the dirt. They had an imagination. They worked their mind. Not nowadays, when the TV's tore up, kids say, we ain't nothing to do. And pull on their mama's dress, take us somewhere. Take us to the store and play Pac-Man. Look, mama, ain't nothing to do. You know what's wrong with them? They ain't got no imagination. You think I'm your enemy. I'm your friend. You ignorant things. Some of you women sitting right there getting mad at me. And you'll watch that Phil Donahue, the biggest enemy you probably got on TV. I like what old Ruckman said about his dog. That's the way some Christians are. They like somebody to talk smooth and nice to them. Don't matter if you're speaking damnation. He says he can get his old German Shepherd dog in there and say, well, Fritz, you the sorriest old ugly thing in the world. I'm going to take you out in the backyard and shoot you. And he'll go, and just get right up. That's the way Christians are. Or he can say, you're the best dog in the country, Fritz. And he'll go, and put its tail between its legs and run. That's the way a lot of Christians are. You holler and scream at them, tell them something good, and it makes them mad. But you better listen tonight. It has a definite effect on a kid's nutrition and their eating habits. You say, I don't believe it. All right, that's your problem. I'm just delivering it. It has a definite effect on their eating habits. Somebody said, oh, since TV's been invented, kids are a lot smarter than they used to be. You ever heard that before? You ever heard that? Nod your head if you heard that. Sure, they're smarter. They can tell you every ingredient to the detergent and whatever soap's got in it. And the best toothpaste and what's got fluoride, what ain't. Big deal. What's that got to do with the price of egg in China, brother? What's that got to do with growing up and making a living and making somebody out of yourself and being physically fit? Nothing! Thank you, brother. You know what the worst effect on TV on a kid's eyes are? They get hit with too much too quick. They get hit right slap in the face with too much too quick. A kid is not capable of taking all that stuff in at an early age, 2 and 3 and 4 or 5 years old. They just can't handle it. Like I said, this first generation, I'm kind of like prophesying tonight. This first generation that's ever grew up on TV, we ain't even seen the results yet. Time will tell whether I'm telling you the truth or not. Number two, it's mental effects. It's mental effects. We're getting all the easy stuff over with first. It's mental effects. TV has some definite mental effects. All right, you listening? I want to give you something that I learned this week. Did you know that television alters your brain waves? It's a drug. It can be a drug. You say, pray for my boy, he's hooked on dope. Well, what are you hooked on, sister? Anything controls your life, you're hooked on it. I read about some Bible people in the Bible that addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. It's good to get hooked on the Lord and on the ministry and on the Bible. Anything that controls you, you're hooked on. You're addicted to. I'll read you some scripture about that in a minute. Do you know what is it? Mental effects? Child's brain gets hit with all that stuff. Now, a child's brain has to be able to process a thought. For example, if it's a baseball, wham! The child gets that picture in his mind. Now, he has to have time to process that. But a lot of times on TV, he gets hit with so much so fast, his mind don't have time to process it, and it just lingers back in there somewhere. And as a result, he's kind of a zombie walking around and don't know what's reality and what's truth. It has some definite mental effects. Now, did you know tonight that, I want to tell you something, it may make some of you mad, but you need to hear it. The less educated a person is, the more TV they watch. The lower your IQ is, the more TV you watch. The higher your IQ is, the less TV you watch. That's a proven fact. Taken by government surveys, and it's a known fact that the dumber a person is, the more TV they watch. You watch a real smart person, they don't spend all day in front of that thing. They're busy doing something. I'm not even talking about saved and lost right now. I'm talking about sense. Brains, brother. Noggin. What's inside there? I know about IQ. People who make under $6,000 a year watch almost twice as television of people who make up in the $13,000 to $15,000 a year bracket. That's a proven fact. Don't that tell you something? Don't that tell you something tonight? One family got rid of theirs. It wasn't even a Christian. And the biggest complaint they had about after they getting rid of him was that the mother couldn't find a babysitter because nobody come and babysit in a house that didn't have one in it. And an educated, refined reporter for Newsweek magazine. You ever heard of that? Man and wife had two kids. The two kids constantly fussed over which programs they was going to watch. All their meals were geared around what time this come on, what time that went on, and it got in such a mess in their home that they decided just to get rid of it. Man and wife both decided, they both agreed, and they said, look, we're just going to do it and try it and see what happens. Later on, I ain't talking about Christians. Don't be so prejudiced. When a preacher mentions something like this, people say, oh no, he's going to be one of them old preachers that don't, they're so narrow-minded. Just listen for a second, would you please? Brother, they said after a few months, the wife said, well, at first, it really bothered me. And then, you know, I kind of got to enjoying it. It felt good not to have to be home at a certain time to see this or that. It felt good not to have to go look for the TV guide after the grocery store. It felt good not to have to search through it frantically, trying to figure out what to watch at a certain time and what was best, what time I had to be home. She said, I enjoyed being set free. The man said, he said, our home has a so much better atmosphere. We talk around the dinner table about what we did that day. And at night, we all sit around and read books aloud and just share our ideas with each other. Now, isn't that a blessing? I ain't even talking about a Christian family. You know, there's a lot of lost people got more sense than some of God's people. The Bible said the children of this generation are wiser than the children of light. You say, you saying get rid of it? No, I didn't say that. You can have, still have that if you'll control it. Hear me out. I'm just getting good and started. You have brain waves in your brain. You have beta rays. That means the ones that go fast or in between. You have alpha rays, and that's the one that goes slow. And that's the one that operate while you're sitting idle watching television. When you sit in watching TV, your brain kind of shifts into low gear and idle. And it's just like... Now that's what you call a passive state of mind. When you're in a passive state of mind, you're just kind of like high, you know, cool. Everything's wow, man. And everything just breathes. You're just kind of like floating. It's like you're on a drug. And when you get inactive with those pictures in your head, you can get so wrapped up in TV that you're totally unaware of the outside world out yonder on the outside. In plain old modern day language, you're spaced out. And TV is in control, and you become a zombie. I could give you story after story after story of people who said, all of a sudden I found myself just spaced out. One man said, he said, I got to where I had to have that fix. I had to have a shot in my veins 30 hours a week to keep my habit going. And my wife had to have about the same dose. He said we were spiritual zombies because of the TV was in control. Now, you know how it is. It's mental effects. I tell you, if you don't believe what I'm saying, you ever heard what people say when their TV tires up? You ever heard it? You ever heard it? Here's the way it controls your life. Move on at 7 o'clock. You're eating at 10 till 7. You shovel your food down real quick. You got to be food before it comes on. Get in there, turn it on, get set down just like this, and you're all ready. You're still cramming down your last few bites of food. First commercial comes on, you run and get you another bite. You're controlled by it. Now, if that ain't a drug, you tell me what a drug does. You say that ain't a drug? Well, what does a drug do? You tell me. I listen. Amen? Amen. Listen, brother. I've read what some people said when their TV tore up. I want to read some of them to you. Here's what one woman said. It's like somebody died. Another one said, I just can't live without it. It ain't a drug, huh? Somebody else said, it was terrible. Those few days we had to do without it. It was terrible. There was nothing to do. My husband and I just talked. Wouldn't be so many marriages breaking up some more do that. Most people have their TV repairman called within 4 hours after the set break. You need to ask the Lord to set you free. And you know it's the truth. You know it's truth. I ain't being narrow-minded. I ain't being overboard. Matter of fact, I'm being kind of easy. It's mental effects. Deadline's coming. Got to be there. Well, get them girls and get out of there. Don't you know it comes on at 7? We got to be home. Let's get this thing going. Beep, beep, beep. I got to be there. You're hooked. Your problem. You're spaced out, brother. You're brainwashed. A zombie. Didn't hear but one amen on that. That's all right. Number three, it's moral effects. It's moral effects. Nobody would deny, unless you're a dummy, that television has some definite moral effects on children and on people. If you don't believe what I've been saying, just listen. Not many people. I heard about a preacher was hooked on it so bad he got up one morning and said, all right, turn to 2 Kings, Channel 7. That's bad. Let's look at, you don't think, hey, you everybody in here knows them people on TV got bad morals, don't you? Now, surely you'd agree with that. Everybody knows that most television shows present bad morals. Adultery, fornication, ungodliness, all kinds of homosexuality, drinking, cursing. Everybody, anybody with half sense knows that's true. I don't show you some Bible verses. Let's turn to a little Bible study right quick. Jeremiah chapter 10. And we'll look at a verse there in Jeremiah chapter number 10 and see what it says about our morals. Jeremiah chapter 10. And when you get Jeremiah chapter 10, hold place there and go back to Exodus 23. Exodus, way back there at the beginning of your Bible, and look at verse number 23. Jeremiah chapter 10, Exodus number 20, chapter 23. First of all, look at Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 2. Jeremiah 10, verse 2. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen. Everybody in here see that verse? Can you read that, folks? Are you brainwashed or can you still read? Learn not the way of the heathen. If God teaches us that it's wrong for us to learn the old heathen ways. All right, Exodus chapter 23 and verse 2. Listen to this, Exodus 23 and verse 2. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. It's bad for you. Over in the New Testament, the Bible says, keep thyself pure. The Bible said, be not conformed to this world. The Bible said, abstain from all appearance of evil. Are you some Bible? I want to tell you something TV's done with our morals. TV has taken the marriage bed, something that's supposed to be private. I mean, people's marriage sex life is supposed to be private, folks. But every kid in here that tonight has seen stuff on TV that they shouldn't even know about till they're grown, except in the right way with the parents teaching them. And the marriage bed has been flashed from Hollywood hell holes right into our living rooms. I'm going to prove it. And it ain't even a marriage bed. It's an adulterous bed. Sad to say, most are not husband and wife. Listen, 80% of all bed scenes on TV are people who are not married. I'll say it again. 80%, 8 out of 10 times, you see a man and woman getting a bed together on television, they ain't married. The show you're watching lets you know they ain't married. And even the ones that are married ain't really married in real life. The ones that are married on the program ain't married in real life. You think these 6-year-old kids in here don't know who JR's wife is on that show? Everybody knows JR's wife, Sue Ellen. I mean, them kids know that. So right before you have a commercial, you show JR in the bed with some other old hussy. Ain't got nothing on from here up. And the attitude is to give you the impression they're naked. That's what they're trying to do. Give you the impression that they are naked. And your kids sit there and they see a man and naked and a woman and naked and they know that ain't that man's wife. Don't run your mouth to me about it not affecting our morals. You need help from God. And if you don't agree with that, it's because you're wrong. Amen, Brother Danny. And if you loved your kids, you'd say amen. If you got any morals at all, they know who's married to who on Knox Landing. Don't you, kids? You teenagers in here, y'all know who's married to who on Knox Landing, don't you? Sure you do. That boy there don't, but that girl there does. That boy's a ball player there. He's got her sense. Amen. I want to tell you tonight, they know witching's supposed to be with witching. Don't you think it don't have an effect on them at a little age? Soap opera. That's a good name for a man. You know, opera? All the world, soap in the world couldn't clean that mess up. Amen. You ain't got nothing but hell in the living room. Hey, I'll tell you a good way to check it out. If you don't agree with what I'm saying, you wouldn't have it on if Jesus come to your house. You say, "Brother Daniel, I'm mad at you. Why are you having to preach that?" Well, let me ask you a question. If you wouldn't mind having it when Jesus is at your house, it's all right. Don't worry about it. Ain't that right? Ain't fine? If you wouldn't want Jesus to be there and see you watching it, maybe you may not better be watching it. Amen. Now, I'm being easy on you. I really am. I'm trying to see your point of view and help you. Love. My foot. Lust boat.
Yeah.
I ain't never watched that show, not one time, but I've sure been in some houses when it was on. And it's got that catchy little tune, you know, and the thing around and around, a big old boat coming out. And you know what? Every time I've been in somebody's house, it shows somebody comes out here and somebody's on a lawn chair, you know, beside the pool. And right when the camera switches to that camera, you watch. I mean, don't, but you happen to look. Right when the camera swings around there, here come an old girl in a bikini, and she is 85% naked. I mean, 85% naked, but. And she'll come in there right behind the screen, right behind where they're talking, and go. I seen that happen. And I ain't watched that show 10 minutes, brother. And I've seen that happen 2 or 3 times. Why? Who do you think puts that woman back there right in front of that camera? Who do you think does that? Bible said in 2 Peter 2:14, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin. You can commit adultery with your eyes. You can commit adultery with your eyes. Jesus said, whosoever looketh on a woman and lust after, it's still in the book. Hath committed adultery already in his heart. You say, we're in the modern generation. All the girls dress like that. It ain't going to change Jesus' word. Whosoever looketh on a woman and lust after, hath committed adultery already in his heart. Them bunch on TV, that bunch of hussies, going to give an account to God for adultery for millions of men they never even seen before. It affects our morals. Now, a young man that sees something like that, you know, David saw Bathsheba. You know that's where he got in trouble, don't you? He saw her. That's where his sin started. He saw her. That's where a man commits adultery. What he sees. You think what a young man sees, you know what he'll think about all the time? It's what he sees all the time. You know how come girls get raped at high school nowadays? Because boys see it and hear it all the time. See half, three-fourths naked girl. I tell you what one of the ungodliest things on TV is these shows that come on. And if it's on radio, I might get sued. I don't hope you'll stand with me if I do.
Amen.
I might do it, no kidding. And I'm, you know, it scares me about it, but the Lord didn't lay it on my heart, I wouldn't have said it. You take one of them old shows that come out and they say, and now here they are, the so-and-so dancers. Let's give them a hand, and here comes a bunch of old naked women out there shaking around there and twisting themselves all over that stage. You know, he's got to learn how to walk to get on TV. That's why you like to wear high heels, to make you twist when you walk. There's a certain way. I guarantee you that every one of you young girls here has got in front of a mirror and tried to watch to see if you're walking right. If you try to throw your hips out of joint as you walk. And we'll deal with that in a later message that's coming up. The Lord laid this on my heart about a year ago, and I've been working on it ever since. And another coming about that other stuff. How many of you, I want you to raise your hand now if you do this. We'll let your kids. Got your kids here tonight? How many of you would you let your kids sneak over to your neighbor's house, peep in his bedroom window at night, watch what woman unbutton her blouse, and take it off? How many of you would do that?
You say, Danny, that makes me sick to even hear you talking about it. All right, you're getting the picture. How come you let them see it all the time in your living room? There ain't no difference. There ain't no difference! As a matter of fact, what they see in their neighbor's bedroom might be a little cleaner. But at least not in most time they're married. How many of you would let your little boy? Got little boys here tonight? How many of you would you let your little boy go down to the bar, a bar over here in Asheville? Just take him out at 7 o'clock and come back and get him at 9. And he said, now, Mama, I ain't going to drink. He said, well, honey, I know you ain't going to drink. I'm just going to sit in there and watch him. And he goes in there and he sits. He hears them cursing. He hears their jokes. He sees them flirting with them waitresses. He hears the bribe, the deal. He sees a man get shot. You say, well, a person would be a fool to let their little boy go over and sit in a place like that. Well, that's what you do all the time. You do it all the time. Sure is getting quiet in here. Hey! You know what some of you women say? I ain't gonna let nobody drink in my house. Oh, really? Really? I'll not. If my husband's gonna drink, he can leave. Oh, you're so right, ain't you? You're so pious. The first thing they do on 90% of television programs, when somebody comes in the house, can I fix you a drink? Start pop. You ever notice how pretty it's on there? Got them little glasses. Man, them things shiny. Pour that wine in there. It makes you just wham. Want to get it, don't it? It looks good. You think your kids ain't going to grow up? Your kids going to grow up with this idea. Educated, but dress nice and drive big fancy cars, all drink. That's what they're going to grow up thinking. If you let that outfit, you're opening up a bar in your living room, what you're doing. You know, people are imitators. People are natural imitators. What they see somebody do, they're going to try to imitate. They really are. They're going to try to imitate. This, if you don't believe it, watch what these little boys, what's these boys are here tonight, what's their minds on this time of year? Either baseball or football. Kind of out of commission right now since they've gone on strike. But most of them know baseball because the World Series is on. And brother, you see them get out there, first thing they want to do, put one over here. I'm going to hit one like old so-and-so did the other night. During basketball season, they're James Worthy.
Yeah. Amen.
During football season, they're whoever's playing nowadays. I can't even think of one. During baseball season, they're Reggie Jackson. You know why? Kids naturally do what they see other people do. Now, if they pick up that baseball and that football and that basketball and all this, they're going to pick up that drinking. They're going to pick up that talk. Hey, parents, you're in the wrong to whip your kid for cussing if you let them hear it on your TV all the time. I said, you're in the wrong. It's your fault. I know, I don't use words like a lot of times they hear at school, and they use hell and damn in a wrong sense. Hell's not a cuss word, kids. And damn is not a cuss word if it's used right in the right context. But used in profanity, it's wrong for you to use it like that. Like the outdoor, they're always telling people to go to hell. Go to hell, go to hell. They're always telling people that. You're not to tell people that in that sense of trying to damn someone. You've got to tell people to go to heaven. Now you think about this for a minute. I know what some of you are thinking. Well, he's just on them old men now. We women, we can sit at home watching it. Don't bother us a bit. Turn your Bibles. Ezekiel 23. I'll take God's word for it. I'll take any woman in here. About half you women in here sit right there and look at me and lie to my face and tell me that you can watch them soap operas and everything and it don't bother you a bit. And you're lying when you say it. You're lying. You say, how do you know? Because the Bible done got your number. I ain't about to start running around on my husband. I didn't say you was. You say, I ain't going to start drinking. I didn't say you was. But I said this, you can't watch that stuff without being affected a little bit. It'll get in your mind. It'll get in your mind. Ezekiel 23. Ezekiel 23, verse 14. Them old whores, I hold on, I hold up, I always talking about Wednesday night. Remember them? Ezekiel 23, 14. And that she increased her whoredoms. For when she what? Saw what? All right, let's say that again. For when she what? Saw what? She saw men. When she saw men, what'd she see men? Portrayed. Drawed, brother. Pictures on the wall. When she saw pictures of men on the wall, she read them playgirls. That some of you would die if I knowed you looked at once in a while. See how a girl could work in a store where they sold that stuff without blushing. Let's put it over the counter. Playgirl. Bunch of little old sissy, effeminate men in them things. Ain't never done a day's work in her life, some of them. You don't need that, girls. When she saw men portrayed on the wall with vermilion, that means red, they were male strippers, girded with girdles. Now, that day, I don't know about that other, but them men had on girdles upon their loins. It's a different kind than I reckon what women wear. I'd bound to be. Exceeding in dyed attire upon the heads. Wasn't they cute? You say, I love what? He's so cute. That boy on my soap opera. Oh, I'm not lusting after anything, but he's cute. I hate to say this, girl. A lot of you's going to have a whore's heart. I didn't say you's a whore. I said you're going to have a whore's heart. I hate to say it. But you'll have a whore's heart. All you think about is boys and their bodies. And have you noticed on the poppers nowadays, it's got boys coming out on every one of them with little bitty bikinis on? Have you noticed that? I was at the Carolina Tire one day. And I just watched it for a few minutes. And then I had a little old a prissy boy come out there. And man, he didn't have on nothing something that wide. And he's always going to be hairy chest, you know, and muscles. He's just a doll baby in the face. Tire's soft and wavy, and it comes down like this. Cute as a doll, brother. And you sit there and watch it and say, I don't think a thing about it. Well, I don't believe you tell the truth. Because if you're a real woman, it'll do something to you. And if you ain't a real woman, you could be funny. And I sure wouldn't want to be around you if you was that way. Or with my wife around you. You cannot look at a boy, get right up in the girl's face and start kissing the fire out of her. And showing his hairy body and his leg without having at least one little thought one while. Now, you can't do it. I'm not accusing you of anything. And I know some of you girls do watch those things. And I'm not saying that I'm not saying necessarily that, you know, I'm not disputing your word. I'm just saying sooner or later there's going to be a little thought. Because you think men's the only one that thinks like that? Look here. Verse 16. And as soon as she what? She did what? With her eyes. She didn't touch them. They didn't tell her they loved her. She did what saw them. With her eyes. She dotted on them. That means she playfully, foolishly pondered on them. Like I talked to you about the other night. Get me? Like that. That's what dotted means. Just acting a fool. Verse 16. Next thing she done, she sent messengers unto them. Uh-oh. And the Babylonians came unto her in the bed of love. And they were defiled with her, with their whoredom. And she was polluted with them, and her mind was alienated from them.
Women, you can't see that stuff all the time and not get polluted. You can't do it. You say, well, Brother Danny, you're going to take away all our good program. No, I ain't. Just the bad news. Just the bad news. Prostitution's shown on TV nowadays like it's the normal thing. You notice how many movies are on that have streetwalkers in them? Prostitutes, brother. And the police are arresting them, and it's an exciting life. Flow. God help. What a filthy, nasty, old sewer mouth witch. You say, she says some funny things. Yeah, but she spits sewage in your ear too. I didn't know I was going to say that. TV has 800 violent acts on it a week. Two boys got their idea on how to rob and blow up a bank from TV, and they told the police they saw how to do it on television. Don't tell me it don't have no effects on your morals. By the time a kid is 15, he saw 13,000 people murdered on television. Like a TV repairman come to fix the TV one day, and a little boy standing there, and he said, if you'd clean out all the dead cowboys out of the back of that thing, it might work. I have to give you a little sugar once in a while so you'll like the rest of it. Number four. I'm going to get a good night's sleep tonight, brother. I hope. Number four. It's spiritual effects. It's spiritual effects. This will be last. It's spiritual effects. The first spiritual bad effect TV has on the home is that it takes the godly atmosphere out of the home. When you go to the house, it's always blaring, screaming, pow, gun, run, fighting, killing, squalling, tires, screaming, somebody getting stabbed. It takes away the godly atmosphere of the home. Homes don't need to be that way because they don't get a godly atmosphere nowhere else. On Thanksgiving Day, the football game will hinder, if not even stop, the once-a-year family get-together. A lot of times, the only time family gets together is on Thanksgiving, and some of the men won't even come because they can't get their channel good enough and they can't watch the ball game. And they have to have the meals ready at a certain time. Now, it's better be through before 2 o'clock because the ball game comes on. It destroyed the atmosphere, godly atmosphere of our home. Some of you men just as hooked on them football games as you are, them women are the soap operas. And they're just as ungodly a lot of times. Little old nude belly dancing cheerleader. Man, when I was in school, cheerleaders wore a dress down to about right there, and we thought, ooh. Now they wear a little thing here, and get out there. Your husbands ought to turn your head or go something to drink or do something when the commercial comes on. It's either beer or sex. Amen, preacher. You know, they put a monkey in with a T, locked him up in the room for 3 weeks, and his blood pressure went up 43%. That's the truth. Meals are scheduled around programs. It destroys the spiritual atmosphere of our home. The second thing it does to our home and our spiritual attitude, our spiritual life, is it paints a false picture of life. Television gives you the false picture. A man can be born, grow up, get in trouble, come back home, get in jail, kill somebody, get married, have 3 kids, ever after an hour. It paints a false. Life isn't like that, folks. That's why kids can't wait for nothing nowadays. They ain't got to have it right there. They can't wait a day. If they want to do something, they want to do it right there. I'll tell you another way we know it paints a false picture of life. Have you never saw a medical show on TV where the doctor wasn't handsome? Have you? Now, I think Quincy's a fine-looking old gentleman. But now, really, you think about either the star of the show or the assistant, that little assistant on Trapper John. Boy, ain't he a fluky.
The trapper just supposed to look at you with them eyes and say, I believe your problem. And the nurse falls in love with them. That ain't. Have you ever looked at some doctors lately? Real doctors. They're anything but handsome. Now, I mean, some of them are, but that's a false picture, brother. The nurse falls in love and he falls in love with the patient. And oh, there's such an emotional. Real hospital life ain't like that. Somebody said nowadays the quickest way to find a doctor is turn the TV on. There's always a doctor show on. Another thing that destroys. Y'all shut up so I can preach.
Amen. Preach it, brother.
I don't know if it's going to be on radio or not. Way, destroying the spiritual atmosphere of our home paints a false picture of life. It stereotypes a ministry. It puts all preachers in the same bag. They're all a bunch of crooks. Now that ought to make any Christian mad. Amen. It makes, you know, I seen about 2-3 years ago, I think it was, one of those movies with the black people. I think it was a Jeffersons or something like that. They got this one old one that's supposed to be a Christian. And every time she comes in, she's hitting them with a pocketbook. You better repent. Yeah, you're going to hell. All Christians don't act like that. That's one of the detrimental things about television. It gives you a false picture of the ministry in a church.
Amen.
Don't tell it like it is. They're a bunch of hypocrites. You know that? The preacher's always a lying, stealing, cheating, crook, adulteress, adulterer. And I tell you something else. It makes kids think that if you live fast and rough and hard, you'll have girlfriends like good old Duke boys. Breaking the law. Something may catch us, but the law never will. Good little old godly program. Little Daisy strutting around there in her little hot pants. Hugging everybody in there. Would you want the Lord to see that out mess in your house? You say, I don't agree with you. It's your business. TV gives you a false picture of life. It makes the kids think, boy, I get me a big hot rod and I can jump over cars. I can run for the law and they'll never catch me. Hey, kids, real life ain't like that. In real life, you always get caught. You always pay for your wrongdoing. I seen a cartoon of a man changing a flat tire out in the rain. And his kids are in there hollering at him out the door. And he's out there in the rain, pumping and changing the tire. And they're saying, Daddy, come on. He said, listen, kids, this is for real. This is real life. You can't change a channel. That's the idea TV paints for life for kids. They think if something comes up you don't like, just turn the channel and switch to something else. But life ain't like that. You got to face the hard times in real life. Dangerous. It's dangerous. I'll tell you another thing it does. It always makes you want things you ain't got. Always makes you want things that you ain't got. Women, men, it'll make you think, good night, look at their house. Look at this dump I live in. Look at that mansion. Look at them clothes. She wears them every day. She's got on something new. It'll make you lust and covet after things that you ain't got. That's dangerous. The more TV, the less spiritual church. The less TV, the more spiritual a church. Now, I don't mean if you throw your TV out the door, that ain't going to help you if you don't get your heart right. I know some people who don't have a TV. It's backslid and hard-hearted and cold on God. But you won't hear opportunity knock if the TV's always on. All right, I'm about through. I'm going to conclude this thing here. Give you several things that I've come definite conviction and conclusion that I have. You're in trouble. Danger lights are flashing if the following things are happening in your life. Listen, mamas. Number one, you find yourself enjoying TV more than Christian fellowship. You're in trouble. You're already in trouble. Number two, substituting TV for Bible study. You're in trouble. Number three, not praying and watching TV. You're in trouble. Number four, leaving off the family altar. So stay up and watch TV and the kids go to bed one at a time and not having family prayer. You're in trouble. Number five, you find yourself controlled by it. And you find yourself arranging your schedule to meet its demands. You're in trouble. You're in trouble. Number six, you're subconsciously turn it on. You know, it's just a habit. You just come in, turn it on. And you're vacuuming the floor and you're dusting it. You just got to have it. It just got to be on. Hey, you're hooked, brother or sister, when you come in with your arm full of groceries and you go by and turn on the TV before you ever set the groceries down. You're hooked. You're hooked before you can even take your coffee, lay your Bible down, if you run over and turn it on tonight when you go home. You're hooked. It's controlling you. You're in trouble. Number seven, if kids are picking up the habits and styles or the language, the sinners they on it. Let me give you a good verse. 2 Corinthians 6:12. 2 Corinthians 6:12. There's a couple more things and I'm through. 2 Corinthians 6:12. See, it wasn't as bad as you thought it'd be, was it? That's what the doctor says after he gives you a shot. 2 Corinthians 6:12. Wait a minute. 1 Corinthians 6:12. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 6:12. 1 Corinthians 6:12. All things are lawful unto me, but also not expedient. That means needful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Paul said, I can do whatever I want to, but I ain't going to let nothing control me. Nothing going to be my control. Nothing going to be my boss but Jesus Christ. I will not be brought under the power of that TV. If you're a woman here tonight, you say, I will not arrange my schedule to meet the demands of that idiot box. I will not let it run my life. If I see some good entertainment on it and I sit with a family, that's fine. If I don't, that's fine. Don't be controlled by it. Don't worry about it. If you miss your program, big deal. Praise the Lord. Don't be controlled by it. And then I want to give you some rules for the kids. You might want to adopt these rules. You might not. It's your business. Number one, I ain't going to make you do nothing. Wouldn't do no good if I did. All I'm going to do is preach it and you do what you want to. Number one, here's some good rules for your kids. No TV till the homework's done. I don't think there's nothing wrong with that, do you? No TV, the homework's done. That ought to come first. Number two, no whining when told to come away or turn it off. You say, all right, son, turn it off. And he goes, get you a hickory and beat the fire out of it. And say, listen here, buddy, you don't turn it off the next time, you won't watch it for another day or two. Don't let it put up with that whining. Some of you mamas right now, you use your TV for a drug. To drug your children while you do your housework. It's the plug-in drug. And the worst pusher in the world is somebody that gives the drug to somebody else to satisfy himself. Number three, TV always off when company comes. It's very rude to leave a TV on when you got company. Turn it off! When company comes, turn it off! Well, we wouldn't have nothing to talk about. Oh, how about the Bible? If they're saved or not saved, witness to them. Number four, off. Off, O-F-F, off. When immoral, cursing or drinking shows are on. If you know a show's got immorality in it and drinking and cursing, off. Off! You say, well, I'm settled in my convictions and it ain't going to bother me none. Enough of it long enough, will. Number five is a suggestion. No more than 2 hours a day should it be on. Number six, if you can't control it, get rid of it. Be a big boy. If you can't control it, get rid of it. TV can be all right if, but if it controls you, it's wrong. Paul said, I will not be brought under the power of any. All right, let's look back at our text verse now, and I'm going to close. Psalm 101. Psalm 101. See, ain't been as bad as you thought. Psalm 101. Let's read what the rest of this chapter says.
Boy, you think there ain't a chapter in the Bible on television? You look here at Psalm 101. That old King James Version, brother, got everything in it. You ain't never found nothing that ain't got in there somewhere. Psalm 101, David said, verse 2, everybody look at it. Boy, this is good. Look at it. Verse 2, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. When wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. David sums it up, what I've been preaching exactly in verse 3. I will set. What's a TV? It's set, ain't it? Okay, you got that now, didn't you? Everybody got that? He said, my sets, bro. Fix the set. Honey, buy us a new set. David said, I will set. I will set. What? No wicked thing before my eyes. TV ain't a wicked thing, but some of the things that comes on it are wicked. And David said, I ain't going to set in front of my eyes. Look here what else he said. I hate the work of them that turn aside. Any show that teaches you to turn aside from God, you ought to hate it instead of love it. It shall not cleave unto me. Or a froward heart shall depart from me. He said, I ain't going to listen to it. I will not know a wicked person like J.R. Ewing. I will not know a wicked person like Johnny Carson. He said, I ain't going to know him. Verse 5, here's a goodie. Whoso privily slandeth his neighbor, him will I what? What did it say? Let's hear that again. What did it say you'd do there? Did it say cut it off? Did it say cut off? He said, if man's slandering, he's on there, wickedness, I'm going to cut him off. You say, oh, it don't. It, oh, yeah, you know what it means. What does it mean? You tell me. Him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. He said, I ain't going to watch that crowd. I ain't going to listen to him. I'm going to cut it off. Verse 5 or verse 6. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land. Ralph Sexton. Amen. Wesley Grant. Amen. Others. Good singing groups. Tom and Jerry. The Little Rascals. He said, mine eyes. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. Verse 7, he that worketh thee shall not dwell within my house. He said, I ain't going to have them. I ain't going to have them wicked bunch in my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will utterly destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may what? Cut off what? All wicked doers from the city of the Lord. That's a good verse to go by. See, it's right in your Bible all the time. Think how wonderful our nation and how peaceful it could be if each prayed and searched the Scriptures as much as they watched TV. It's amazing and appalling how the Lord is so denied. Many have exchanged their Bible for a TV guide. Murder pictures, children watching programs, base obscene. Many juvenile delinquents can be traced back to the screen. Pastors are bemoaning small attendance Sunday nights, careless members home and watching special program or the fights. Surely this must grieve the Master, all this tendency to crime, as he notes the wasted hours, how and what we do with time. With this grip upon our nation, midnight hours so very high, yet we lull to sleep our conscience mid a rock and roll lullaby. Spiritual suicide is certain if we continue in this way. How we need to search the Scriptures, more and more we ought to pray. There would be tremendous difference to you. This you may not agree, but our greatest spiritual robber is none other than TV. Let's bow our head for a word of prayer. Now, I love you tonight, and I hope you ain't mad at me. I know I said some things that made a couple of you women mad, but I done it because I love you, and I want to see you be able to get your prayers answered. I want to see you be able to see your loved ones saved. Isn't that more important? God help us, folks. Isn't that more important? I want a pianist to come. Brother Johnny to get us a song. I know I've been alone tonight. But I can guarantee you one thing as your pastor and your friend. Everything I've said tonight, I've said trying to help you. I know sometimes you think your preacher's your worst enemy, but I'm your friend. And I'm not saying you have to believe everything I believe. I'm just saying do what God wants you to do. And we're going to pray. We're going to have a verse of an invitation.
Maybe there's some parents here tonight that need to set some definite rules at your house about your children. I realize tonight, if you're a woman here tonight and your husband's not saved, there ain't much you can do. I realize that, and I know the situation you're in. I'm not asking you to do what's impossible. God's not asking you to do what you can't do. But if it is in your control, you men, women here tonight, maybe you're seeing, maybe your kid's getting their eyes burnt out about 30 hours a week by that thing, and you're going to say, I'm going to put a stop to it. They may whine for a while, but I'm doing it for their good. And you may want to just come and pray about it and tell the Lord about it. We're going to pray. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you'd take the message, use it for your glory. Lord, I don't know where all this message may go on tape, but every person that hears it, I pray they'd take it in the right spirit, Lord, and Lord, they'd understand it, and Lord, that they'd live by it. And search the Scriptures to see if these things be true. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Page 354.
If you need to come pray, let's come right now, right quick.
All to Jesus I surrender.
You want to surrender it all to Jesus tonight?
All to Him.
That's right. Come on. Come on right now.
I will ever love.
Will you do it?
Trust Him.
Will you step out?
In His presence.
Will you make some rules?
Daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all.
Yes. Yes. You say, I just can't do without it. You'll be better off.
To Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Before we sing that next stanza, you may be sitting there thinking, boy, I sure do like one of them. If it wasn't for that, I believe I could give it up. Listen, folks, you'll never prosper spiritually as long as you're not willing to do what God wants you to do. You want power with God? You want your prayers answered? You want to be able to enjoy church instead of dreading it? You want to be able to come to church and say, oh boy, I can't wait to see what happens tonight, instead of saying, oh no. Oh, I dread listening again. Ain't you sick of that kind of life? I tell you one thing, you can enjoy it if you get your heart in the right place. One more verse. If you need to come, you come right now.
All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at His feet I bow.
Amen.
Worldly
Amen.
Pleasures all forsaken.
Sing it, now
take
mean it.
Take me, Jesus.
You don't mean it. Don't sing it.
Take me.
Don't be
now.
A hypocrite. Let's sing.
I surrender all.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
I hope you took the message tonight the right way. I hope you understood what I said. I tried to be plain. I tried to be sincere. And mean every word I said. Now, there's a lot of things you may disagree on. God will work it out for you. If any man be otherwise minded, the Lord shall perfect and work at it out even, the Bible tells us. I know one thing, folks. We're living in a terrible time. We need all God's power we can get. Anything. It don't have to be a TV. It could be radio. It could be magazines. It could be a lot of things. Anything that dampens your spirituality and turns your heart from God, you'll be better off just to put it aside. All right. All minds and hearts clear? If you couldn't swallow it, love me anyway. And come back. Come back. I don't want our church to get the name, if you don't do this and that, you ain't welcome here. You're welcome. Amen. All right, you're welcome. So you come back. Be with us. The Lord will help you. The Lord will help you. Don't forget the service now, Wednesday night, Thursday night. Come bring somebody with you. Next Sunday, pray for us in the Bible this week. That God will strengthen us and help us to do what He has to. Okay, let's pray. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Jack Sparks to dismiss us.